Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Live weather cast, weather update. It's probably my first episode dealing with weather, but also interviewing a very, very famous weather reporter here in South Florida. I used to see her when I, would see her a whole lot, and ever since I was a kid, actually. And her name is Paola Elorza. She's an anchor, exactly, meteorologist and environmental reporter. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Santiago. Thank you for the invitation. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate your words. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very influential when I used to see you as a kid and also throughout my adult life. And can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm from Chile. I was born in Santiago. And I studied meteorology right there in the Escuela Técnica Aeronáutica, that is a special academy for everything related with aeronautics, with the airports, and of course meteorology is involved with everything related with aviation. And I got my title there, and then I started working on TV there back in Chile in the 90s, in the late 90s. And after a while, there is an opening of a TV station here when everybody knows about the Weather Channel, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Weather Channel in Atlanta. Yeah, they opened a branch in 1997 for Spanish public. I mean, a Latin TV channel, a Latin weather channel. Actually, it was called Weather Channel Latin America. And they travel all over Latin America looking and searching for meteorologists and producers, especially meteorologists, because they want meteorologists who speak Spanish, and they know very well about the weather on those countries. And they look up for me, and actually I met them in the Natural Weather Service in Chile. They went and looking for me. That was amazing. And I met them, all the Americans. They came, one of the meteorologists went with a translator by then, because my English wasn't that good and nobody spoke English by that time in the National Weather Service. So they were looking actually for me, and they were asking for me. That was super amazing, like a miracle. And then I met with them, and I filled the application, and then I came to the United States in December of that year. And I started to work with them for 3 years, and after that, I received a call from Univision here in Miami. And the Weather Channel was passing by a very tough moment by then, so I decided to give it a try. I came to Miami with my family, my husband, and my kid. I had by then a 10-year-old son. And we moved to Miami, and I started working with Univision. And I started as the weekend meteorologist and environmental reporter by wow. then. And then I did many things with the network, too. Because Univision, the TV station, local TV station, Univision 23, and the network is there in the same building. Not now, but by then we were all in the same building. So
yes,
I work for both of them.
I do. You know, it's funny you say that, because I think I was there on my TV that I watched your first broadcast.
Really?
I think I do. I think I remember, because you know, back then it was 2000. I would watch the news every evening with my dad around 6 p.m. 5. I don't know, sure what time it was back then. And I remember, yeah, this is the new presenter. My dad only watches, you know, Channel 23. And I remember you. And you were like, okay, yeah, this is the Weather Channel. This is the new. And then you were there for, man, you were there for years afterwards. I mean, you became
18 and a half.
Yeah, I remember that. And you were like solid. You were like the star. You were behind, who was the guy which I think he's an NBC6 now, but
Joe Morales?
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
He did both English and Spanish. I was really surprised, like, he can do both.
Well, actually, his first language is English.
Oh, no wonder.
He's from Puerto Rico, but he studied here, and he's better. He feels more comfortable in English than in Spanish.
You know,
he does both very well. Yeah.
Interesting you say that, because he looks very comfortable in English. I thought Spanish was his first language. So
no, his first. Well, it was, but all the school, I think, and because he moved, I think he moved here when he was a kid. So yeah.
Now
he feels more comfortable. Definitely, he feels more comfortable in English.
Now, back then, is it me, but was it like, were you like one of like the first women meteorologists that would appear on TV?
Yeah, I think I was the first, at least in Spanish. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember
that. I don't know in English, but in Spanish, I was definitely the first.
Which was kind of groundbreaking.
The first women in many things.
Yeah, no, groundbreaking, because I mean, I remember this. When you first did it, then you've seen other women across like the country doing that, and it became like a trend, and it's still trending today.
Right now, I think you can see more women than men, maybe, or maybe half and a half.
Yeah, it's funny because I usually see women meteorologists in the morning, and I think at night, late night, they put like the guys at the night, late night for some reason.
I don't know.
But yeah, really quite interesting, like the whole trends and everything else. So how has now today with like weather TV, how has it been different since you first started?
Oh, the internet make a lot of difference. I mean, you have too much information. Right now, I can tell you about Dorian because of the internet and all the information I can get from there. And that's makes a big difference. We had internet, but it was not the same velocity, not the same amount of information, not the same web pages that you can find anywhere right now with... makes the most significant difference from then to now.
Yeah, and like the technology wise, do you think we're able to predict storms better now, or do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. The forecast from example from the 90s until today. Oh my God, have improved a lot. And in the past 10 years, I think I would say. I've seen, like, for example, in the track of the hurricanes, the models and the National Hurricane Center working with those models have been very consistent. I feel very, very happy and very, how do you say, confident. Mm-hmm. And make and talk about that forecast, the track, for example, of a hurricane, because it's mostly what is going to happen. They're very, very, very good. The intensity is still working on it. They're still working on it. Have many improvements in the past 5 years, but definitely the track have been very, very good.
You still
thanks to the new technology.
Yeah. Do you still think that? I've always heard that like the most accurate prediction is 24 hours before. Do you think that's still strong today, or do you think they can still predict it 48 hours before?
What do you mean 24 hours?
Let's say like they project a landfall for a hurricane, and you think it's more accurate when it's 24 hours before that landfall happens versus a 48 hours?
Before. Of course, as closer as the hurricane is from land, is more accurate the forecast. But you know what? Sometimes it's funny, and this happened for many times. Sometimes a 7-day forecast is more accurate than the 48 hours.
Wow.
I don't know.
I've heard about that argument.
Because they're moving again, and then they come back to the first thought. But yeah. Yeah, for 24 hours, more accurate. But we are talking about miles. If you see the thing, the movie in general, for example, if they say, okay, the Hurricane Dorian, for example, is going to impact from Cape Canaveral to Miami, for give you an example. That is accurate if you say if you are watching a forecast like 7 days or 10 or 5 days in advance. That's difference of error, that margin of error has become less smaller and smaller with every year.
Yeah, it's getting better.
So we have improved. Yeah.
Now, definitely. What are your thoughts about, like, now there's different models. Now there's the European model, the USA model, and whoever model. What do you think about, you know, seeing, like, the different models now with hurricanes?
Well, sometimes it's distracting, I think. People shouldn't know about too many models. That should be just part of the meteorologist's work, and that's it. But now, because of the social media and all the things that we can find, the internet is like public knowledge that everybody knows about. Oh, there's this model. But these are like numerical models, and for a prediction, for example, a model takes some kind of a statistic to make the equations. You know, all the mathematics that are related with the model. So different models grab different factors or different things. So that's why they make different forecasts. And they don't get the same solution. So we have to, for example, for tropical, we have to, actually there's one, two, or maybe three models that are really, that's really good. And the meteorologists, as meteorologists, most follow those models. The other one are like mostly experimental, so they are improving. So
yeah,
actually, for me, it's just one model. I like one or two models, and that's it. I don't see.
What's your favorite models?
More than that, I like very much the GFS. I always forget the name. But yeah, that is the model that I have. Then let me give you the response right away. And I have it right here with me.
Yeah, which is interesting because I think last year or 2 years ago, I think the European models won, like the accuracy. But we'll see who would do it again this year. You know.
Well, depends. It depends of the synoptic situation of the hurricane, and yeah.
Yeah,
but both of them are very good. Actually, right now, yeah, it's the European and the GFS mostly they're competing with each other. But
yeah, it feels like a very competitive
thing. At the end, the National Hurricane Center, what does is like make an average of all the tracks of all the models, and then they track like in the middle of all of them.
Yeah. And you think like the airplane going into the hurricane helps out a whole lot? Like they figure out what's up?
How is the question again?
When like the airplane goes into the hurricane to gather data, do you think that makes a big difference? Like you'll.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Yeah, that actually because the data, the real data is what makes the models adjust to the reality and make it more accurate. So as much flight and real data we have, much better the forecast and the models work. We have, there's not only the plane, the hurricane hunters, but they send drones also.
That's awesome.
And yeah, and they can fly like constantly around the, not that high as the plane, but they give us very, very good data too.
That's awesome. And
so it's both.
Have you ever seen that movie Twister?
Yeah, of course.
Where they send like the little balls into the tornado, and I mean, obviously, I don't know what the history behind it, but it kind of reminds me of that to get the data of the storm, and to study these things. But you know, do you think in 20 years we could, you know, perhaps know like the path of these things better now?
of the tornadoes?
No, I mean of a hurricane or a have a hurricane. Let's just say a hurricane.
Okay. Yeah. Of course. Of course.
That's
right now the technology is advancing so fast, very fast. So yeah. And meteorology, the career, the science is based on technology. I mean, for the past years, we have learned a lot. I think to the new tools that we have, satellites, radars, and every year the radar, the satellites, the planes, everything in the technology improve. So we can learn more and more. The science is very new because we need the technology. We need the technology, not only the experience of the meteorologist that, I see the clouds. Of course, that is important. I think, and that is very important. Let me tell you, I have known meteorologists that they can see the clouds and they know everything because they know their area geographically. But anyway, we need the technology to learn about all the phenomena.
Yeah, very much so.
So as more the technology help us, as better.
Yeah, it should be very interesting.
We will learn more and we will be much better in the forecast, more accurate every time.
Yeah, I'm very fascinated with weather technology and something that hopefully we'll see a lot of improvements and able to plan better and everything. Anyways, let's look at Hurricane Dorian. What are your thoughts? Where do you think it's going to go?
What do I think? I don't think anything. I always give the forecast, the official forecast of the National Hurricane Center. And you know why? Because that is a fight that we have always, the meteorologists. Everybody say, no, because I think this, I think that. And I say, okay, you know what? We have to give just one response, one answer. And that is the official forecast of the National Hurricane Center. We cannot say, okay, I think this, I think that, because we are going to confuse people and people need to be prepared. So anything, what I think, I keep it for myself. And I always give the National Hurricane Center forecast. That is the official and that people have to listen to. And the last bulletin in the public advisory is that Hurricane Dorian is just passed very far away from Puerto Rico. It's north of the island right now. Fortunately, didn't make too much damage there. The only affected was very badly the Virgin Island. But they said that not as bad as Maria, because Dorian, it was a Cat 1, went past by then. And right now is moving northwest. And let me see the last public advisor here. Yeah. Is her maximum sustained winds are 85 miles per hour. It's still a Cat 1. And is moving to northwest. And an average speed of a hurricane. So we're still expecting to affect Florida during the weekend. And so all the Florida coast has to be prepared, especially from West Palm Beach northward, I would say.
Yes, thank you for telling
more
me
than
that.
Here, okay. More than here in Miami.
Yeah.
There's some models that are taking the hurricane to Miami, but I think that they're very, very forced. It won't be like a natural movement, even though the high pressure that is saying is going to be north and pushing the hurricane toward Florida is going to be strong by the weekend. I think it's the biggest possibility or the bigger possible is that the hurricane moves northward than from Miami, definitely. Like, for example, Cape Canaveral or Vero Beach, Daytona Beach, all those places have to be very prepared about Dorian. And they're still expecting to become a category 3 by then. So,
Yeah, that sounds like gonna be a big storm. Yeah, we gotta be prepared. And you're right. I think I've been seeing a lot of people.
Right, that is a major hurricane. It's make a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, Category 3 to 1 is a big difference. And yeah, I mean, I've been hearing, you know, West Palm Beach and up, you know, somewhere between Central and West Palm Beach, it's where it's going to hit. Do you think? What day for sure do you think that like the models will be clear? Do you think by tomorrow or do you think today is pretty much?
No, by Saturday. I think by Saturday.
Okay.
Because right now I was watching the track from yesterday and the day before, and the track is slower in the hurricane. Right now, for example, on Sunday morning, the hurricane is going to be still east of Bahamas. So it will be approaching Florida on Monday early morning. And yesterday we were talking about Sunday night, and the day before yesterday, maybe Saturday. So right now it's slow. The track is slowing the speed of the hurricane. But the main problem of this hurricane I've seen is the when the hurricane approached on Monday morning, South Florida or East Coast of the Atlantic Coast of Florida, Central Florida, more or less, is going to slower even more. The speed is going to be slower. So it is going to take like about 24 hours to reach at Central Florida. So, and that is a problem in this hurricane. If it goes very slow, it's going to cause more damage. And after that, they're going to maybe move a little faster toward the north of Georgia, will be affected all south and east coast of Georgia. Maybe like a tropical storm or maybe a low pressure. But anyway, they're going to receive a lot of with this hurricane. But for us in Florida, that's the main problem. So the storm surge that the hurricane may cause is going to be dangerous. So we have to be prepared for that. Evacuating in the coast, all the vessels have to be taken off the water. And yeah, there are many. The main concern is that.
Yeah, and like
during Monday morning until Tuesday morning.
Yeah, and obviously, like the hurricane did not go through Puerto Rico or any of those islands that have the mountains to slow it down. So it's going through those warm waters, and of course, it's going to intensify. So it's unfortunate, but hopefully, you know, I don't know about you, but I've seen one case where a hurricane went north, like last minute. I'm not sure if you ever had that experience, but
yeah, that is possible. No, yeah. That is possible. Definitely is possible. Just depend on how the system around him moves. On Friday, they are saying that on Friday afternoon, they're going to turn toward Florida. So let's see. Let's see how much it turns. And then on Friday, maybe Friday night, we will have more clear the idea of what exactly is going to move.
Yeah, this is so exciting. Yeah. Because I watch more the Weather Channel these like during like the months of like the summer months and August and September more, and it's just you follow it on Twitter and you follow on the Weather Channel, and then like when like the storm comes, you see like the reporters on site and they gotta face the winds and they gotta, you know, face the rain and everything. But were you able to do that? Like when a hurricane came, did you ever report it, like while the hurricane was happening?
No, I never could. I always was in the studio and even very close with everything closed. I couldn't even see the wind through the windows. You know, one time with the hurricane, which hurricane was Francis, I think. No, with Wilma. With Wilma, I finished my shift. And I went out, and I said to the guard, please open the door. I want to see the hurricane. Because the hurricane was passing just by Doral. So I was there, and I want to see it. Please open the door. And the guard was laughing. Okay, I'm going to open the door for you to see the hurricane. I was, oh my God, oh, wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
I was always inside, just watching the hurricane through the internet. That's so awesome. Boring. And in my images, in my equipment, all my computers that I have there. So it's not the same now, maybe because I'm not working. If the hurricane passed by or closer to Miami, I will be able to see finally first time.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But hopefully it does not come through South Florida, but hopefully it doesn't go anywhere.
No,
hopefully it goes in the sea.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
Another question, like how much of a variable is it, like about like high pressure, low pressure? Is that something that's also significant of how the hurricane moves?
Yeah, definitely. All the systems surrounding the hurricane makes them move to a one direction or on another. And most of the time, the hurricanes move from east to west because of the atmospheric circulation. There's a semi-permanent high pressure in the Atlantic. They call the Azores Bermudas high pressure, and the hurricane follow the path of that winds, that in the Caribbean, that winds come from the west to the east. They call them alisios, also the winds alisios wind, but in this case, the hurricane always should turn north. You know, and go parallel to the east coast of the United States because of that pressure is right there, and the hurricane go around the high pressure. You understand?
No, I understand. Okay. No, it's good. It's good stuff.
Okay. But right now there's another high pressure coming from the west, like a cold high pressure. Because this semi-permanent high pressure is a warm high pressure. That's why it's semi-permanent. There's many semi-permanent high pressures around the world. For example, in the coast of Chile, there's another high pressure there. So every ocean has its own semi-permanent high pressure, and it's a warm high pressure. But this another high pressure is coming from the United States. It's associated with a cold front that is passing by North Florida, I think now. Let me see because I forgot exactly where is it right now. But anyway, and then that's supposed to change all the pattern because that high pressure is going to be positioned in the Atlantic, and then will block the hurricane to move north, and then it will cause the hurricane to move westward toward Florida.
Wow.
That's more or less what it's going to
happen. No. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is amazing. I mean, wow. This is
unfortunately, I don't have a graphic to show you because with graphics it's much easier to understand.
Which I do have a graphic that's on the here in the video cast, so I'm trying to do my best to show it, but yeah, it's quite interesting, and you're right, you know, a lot of like the weather stuff is visual, you know, you work on a green screen, blue screen, and you show it, and then it makes people, I mean, it's the only scientific part of the news.
That is why people love weather, because they can see all the graphics, the cool graphics, and understand, because it's meteorology is a fascinating science. When you put all those maps and graphics and everything, and people start to understand, it's like super cool.
Yeah, which is interesting because, like you were saying earlier, in weather, you can't say much of your opinion. You got to report the facts versus like the sports. You know, you could say your opinion over a player or a team. But in weather's different. It's interesting, the perspective. I didn't know that much about it. But, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, especially when a hurricane, because it's a normal day. It's going to rain. It's not going to rain. That's not a problem. But we lives are depending on it.
I know.
Property are dependent on it. You have to be consistent. So you cannot distract people saying, okay, I think this, I think that, because that is a misinformation. Everybody, all the TV station, all the major lawyers, that's why I always say in the meetings that we have, and fortunately they are becoming understanding that we cannot give our opinion during a hurricane. We have to be consistent and give all the TV station, everybody, just one forecast. Because otherwise people say, no. Channel 7 say, okay, the hurricane is going to West Palm Beach for, say something. No. Channel 6 say that it's going to pass by Melbourne. So I don't care.
Yeah, it makes
and
total
people
sense.
Don't prepare.
Yeah, it makes total sense. Wow, this is awesome to know. I mean, I didn't realize it till now. And I was like, yeah, you have to. A lot of liability, a house, people's lives, insurance companies, you name it.
Yeah, and we, for example, I'm a meteorologist, but I can give you exactly forecast and describe you exactly what is happening as a people that is working every single day on it on the National Hurricane Center. They have the computer. They have all the most current information, everything. I only have an internet web page that sometimes the model are not are a little bit old. I don't have the latest run of the models. I don't have the latest information. I don't have all the observation of all the station that they have, and they're expert in that. So we have to respect them and give what they're saying and follow them.
Paola, this is awesome. I'm awesome. Talk to a weather meteorologist. This is probably my first time talking to weather meteorologists. I don't meet too many out there. Are you calling me?
I think
me?
I'm calling you.
Oh.
Yes, but it was not.
It's okay.
Voluntarily. Yeah, let me see. Okay.
It's okay. I got it. Yeah. Anyways, how about yourself? What are your future plans? And yeah.
My future plans? I don't know. Right now, I'm quiet at home. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, I come back to the media. Soon, hopefully. I don't know. I'll try. Right now, the thing is, I'm a grandmother right now.
Congratulations.
So I was taking care of my granddaughter. That's why I didn't wanted to start working again yet. But right now, she's in the daycare, so now I'm going to try to move to come back to media.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Usually in the show, we ask you a random question, and that random question is, what is your favorite type of dog?
My favorite type of dog?
Yeah, dog.
Well, actually, I have two dogs. Okay. And, one of them passed away. So I cannot say because I love dogs. So, but I like big dogs, not small dogs. I like big, medium to big dogs.
That's awesome.
I had an American Bulldog. He passed away in April. I'm so sad. I'm still crying every day for him. And I have a Brittany. He misses so much his brother.
That's awesome.
And that is a Brittany Spaniel. A Brittany Spaniel is like a mix of the Setter, Irish Setter, mm-hmm. Setter Irlandes,
yeah.
Irish Setter. Mm-hmm. With the Cocker Spaniel, more or less.
That's awesome. That's a good dog.
Yeah, you can imagine. Have the color, the shape of the Irish, with the colors of the Cocker Spaniel.
That's awesome. And what would you advise a student in high school or maybe in college that want to be involved in weather? What would your advice be?
My advice, if they like, they really like weather, I guess they go into computers, see all the things that related to weather that they can find there. And there's a very nice site where you can learn a lot about meteorology. It's called, and it's both, it's in English and in Spanish. And the website is Comet, COMET, awesome. Like co-meteorologist, but Comet.
Comet, interesting.
I think it's that .gov or that or that .com. No, it's that comet.com, I think. But anyway, you search for comet, there's like a lot of videos and a lot of information and tutorial videos about meteorology. They explain you everything, and it's very professional. I mean, I go there to remember many things sometimes, so it's very cool, it's very nice. So if you want to learn weather, or at least to see it's really whether it's your thing and you really like it, go there and see some videos, and then you're going to be sure if you want to be a meteorologist.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I've seen a lot. Like, this field's been growing, and you were telling me, you know, with like the Weather Channel expanding as well. So there's definitely a whole lot of opportunity, not just on television, but also online, or maybe you could work at a hurricane center or at a private weather organization. So there's definitely opportunities
exactly.
in that. So
no, it's a very beautiful career. The only thing, you have to be prepared to skip nights working. Like if you work overnight, you won't sleep.
Yeah, that's the thing, because weather keeps going. It's 24/7. It doesn't stop.
Exactly, 24/7, and you in the National Weather Service, you work making shifts. So yeah. You have shifts during the night, during the afternoon, during the morning. I mean, and I think, I don't know here, but in Chile, we have like 12-hour shift. So
wow.
All day or all night. And then we have a couple of days off. And yeah, I think they work exactly the same here.
That's
so
great.
So you have to be prepared to make shifts and to work during the weekends, during the night. And yeah. But
yeah.
It's a very beautiful career. And they pay good. They pay very good.
Hey,
but
that's a good sign.
For example, if you study meteorology, that's the only thing. The other thing is, you study meteorology, you have to be prepared to do the master, because just the four years of basic meteorology after college, the college and 2 years more is not enough. You don't learn exactly what you need to be a good meteorologist. You have to do the master.
Yeah, and do some of them go to communication school to learn how to work with like the green screen, or they kind of teach you when you go on to the studios, or like what have you seen?
I don't know. Maybe if they study meteorology, there's many meteorologists that study communication first and then make like a minor in meteorology.
Yeah.
If they want to go to TV, because they don't need to learn too many things about meteorology. I mean, to be an expert to be on TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
just understand what is going on and be able to explain it to the public. But if you want to be a scientist and work in the National Weather Service, on the Natural Hurricane Center, you have to be the opposite. Study meteorology and maybe a communication like minor or something, to be able to, I don't know, go give the interviews when you are working on the shift. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, it's a wide spectrum. I mean, I've seen people that become reporters that never went, you know, to communication school. Sometimes there's just a natural, or you know, things like that. So
I think in FIU, they, I don't know if, yeah, or UM, I don't remember which one of them, but they have both the career of meteorology as far as I know, and they teach more or less to do broadcasting meteorology. But that's one of the things I would like to do, because I haven't seen after they graduate, very talented meteorologist to be on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly.
And I would like to make a, put a school or have like a, I don't know, in one of the universities have a broadcast meteorology as part of their career. They should.
They should, yeah. I mean, if there's any of them, then yeah, for sure they should. And like, a lot of these things are kind of, you know, getting modified throughout the years, But anyways, how can people reach you online, Paula, if they have any questions about, you know, weather or how to become a meteorologist? What's the best way to reach you online?
On Messenger and Facebook.
Okay.
That they can reach me there. They can go to Paola. Yeah, Paola Elorza. That's my, they search for me. I have two pages, one of my personal and the other one like a talent. And that is easier because the other one is full. I don't think I have too many space for more friends because they accept only 5,000.
Yeah. So
it's
everyone.
It's really full. But yeah. But if you go to my talent page in Paola Elorza, I can, you can be my friend or my follower there.
There you have it. Yeah. If you go to Facebook.com. And you search Paola for sure. That's the best way to reach Paola. But anyways, she just went offline right now. And you can follow us here on SleonProductions.com. She's trying to call us back. Let me see if I can get her back here. That's the best way. She can't call me, but I can call her. That's the way it works here in Skype. And I'll show you guys how it works. Hurricanes, team storms. Paola, you're back. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
I have no idea what happened. Maybe a connection. But yeah, if you go on her Facebook.com, search Paola Elorza, like her page, and you're able to message her if you have any questions about weather or how to become a meteorologist or like the TV industry, because she also has
experience. Exactly. I see more my messages to Facebook than Instagram. Sometimes I don't review much more my messages.
Instagram is a whole different spectrum. But anyways, any closing words before we end the show?
Well, I have to be prepared for Dorian. So keep tuned, keep watching what is going on and be prepared. Be prepared. Always be prepared.
Yeah, better be safe than sorry. Get those gas tanks filled up. I went to the gas station. It took a little bit longer. But not too bad. But it's not as, I mean, it's not as, it's still Thursday. I know there's still some, like,
yeah, but
a bit of time.
You don't have to wait until that time.
Yeah, because I remember Irma 2 years ago. I don't know, I'm not sure if you remember that. It was crazy. Like, there was no gas.
Oh, my God, yes, I do remember.
Yeah, that was a knock a little bit.
It was awful.
Yeah, it was awful. I've never seen anything like it.
It was my first hurricane that I was really scared.
Yeah, that was different.
That was scary.
And I don't know about
because
you, where
that
I was.
So big and so intense.
Yeah, where I was, there was not much going on. It was just rain and wind, but it wasn't too, well, not remembering, it was a little bit tense at times, but it wasn't that bad. But
the problem with Irma wasn't, it was big and it was huge, actually, and was very intense. But the problem is the path that move from Florida from south to north, because it would be much different, big difference is if the hurricane passed by like from east to west or from west to east, like the hurricane passed and that's it.
Yeah.
But the path that the hurricane took, like parting the Florida in half, crossing from the middle or from south to north, like everybody in Florida was affected by the hurricane, every single one.
Yeah, it was the most unusual pass it went through. But anyways, Paola, I really appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Live podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Santiago, for the invitation.